New security threats could change the business of air cargo.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the United States. British and German leaders met today to talk about the terror threat that involves cargo. That's after mail bombs were sent from Yemen last week and traveled through airports in London. The cargo industry continues to respond, and we could see some big changes in the way we ship things around the world. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
If air cargo is scanned before loading, and most of it isn't, it'll be scanned by conventional X-ray. But that technology is not very good at detecting small amounts of explosives, as in this case. Security analysts say we should be using the far more sophisticated equipment currently used to scan passengers' checked baggage. But there are two problems with this. That equipment is much more expensive than X-ray machines, and at the moment it will only work on small items of freight. Norman Shanks is a security consultant who helped develop the newer technology, and he says it won't work on whole containers of cargo.
So we have to break them down into individual packages. Take time, it will be costly, but I think we have to introduce that for packages coming from known risks, whether they're either people or from particular countries.
Most countries say the shipping companies and the airlines should bear that extra cost, and they'll undoubtedly pass it on to their customers. Air freight just got more expensive. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Brazil has elected its first female president, and come the first of the year, political newcomer Dilma Rousseff will take the reins of one of the world's fastest-growing economies. The BBC's Paulo Cabral joins us from Sao Paulo with the story. Hi, Paulo.
Hello, Steve.
How economically significant is Rousseff's election for the United States and the rest of the world, for that matter?
Well, actually, it's as significant as the fact that Lula da Silva, one of the most popular presidents in the world, the man, as Barack Obama has said once, is leaving now the presidency of this country. And actually, Dilma Rousseff has promised to continue the work of Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, and he has brought quite a lot of economic growth to Brazil over the last 8 years. You know, Dilma Rousseff was Lula da Silva's chief of staff, and among her main duties was to take care of Brazilian infrastructure, of development of this Brazilian infrastructure. So that is an issue which is extremely important right now in Brazil, and that she's very much across it. So that could be one of her main tasks.
Now she's a former leftist militant. Do we know how that's going to influence her economic policies?
Actually, Dilma Rousseff could be described more as a pragmatic developmentalist and, of course, leftist in the sense that she supports a strong presence of the state in the economy, strong regulation and strong social policies, universal health care, all of these kinds of things. But most of all, she wants Brazil to do business with the rest of the world within terms that would be positive for the country.
The BBC's Paulo Cabral joining us from Sao Paulo. Paulo, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Global stocks are higher at the moment. Markets are up just barely in Europe, much higher in most of Asia today, thanks to some good manufacturing news in China and India. Wall Street Friday shares were mostly flat. The Dow closed slightly higher at 11,118. For the month of October, markets were up 3-6%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Event Marketing, working to help small businesses and nonprofits make their events easier with event registration and marketing tools. ConstantContact.com. By The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at The Economist Online. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud.
State attorneys general are now involved in the federal investigation of foreclosures. Allegations include misfiling paperwork and using questionable methods to speed up the process. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan says the foreclosure mess highlights a double standard between banks and mortgage holders and says so many suspect foreclosures are a threat to the financial system and even capitalism as we know it. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
A threat to capitalism. I mean, come on.
Oh, absolutely. People are catching on that there's a double standard. There's one standard for you, and you're supposed to meet all of your obligations. And then there's another standard for the banks, which is they're supposed to meet their obligations, but if they don't, well, that doesn't matter because we'll give them a do-over.
Is this a too-big-to-fail thing, Alan? I mean, is this why the banks are getting these, you know, slaps on the wrist or do-overs?
I think that's a big part of it because many of the banks involved in this, they're so big that if they in the end had to shell out billions or tens of billions, which is theoretically possible, they'd never be able to do it. We'd have to bail them out again, and no one's going to let them fail.
Are people, and by people I mean the ones whose houses are not being foreclosed upon, I mean, seeing what you say is going on?
I think so. When people meet their obligations, which they're legally supposed to do, you expect the banks to meet their obligations, which apparently many of them are not doing.
Then why don't we see legislation, Alan, with people starting to realize this double standard, as you call it? Why don't we see people rising up to say, we need to break up the banks. We need to make them less of a risk to the financial system and end this double standard?
Well, what you see in the election campaigns for the elections tomorrow is you see all of these demands for ending the Fed or ending all bailouts or ending this or ending that, which is never going to happen. The idea that you have to change the rules and break up some of the big institutions that are too big to fail and change the incentives, this is a little subtle, and it doesn't fit in a 3-second soundbite, which is why you're not hearing it now.
We'll find out what happens after Election Day, which is tomorrow. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, cellular phone service has made it to Mount Everest. A big telecom company in Nepal has added 3G coverage close to the top of the world's tallest peak. A big coup to get cell service up there so climbers can keep in touch with families and call if they need help. Kudos, of course, to the fact that there is reliable cell service near Mount Everest, but I wonder when it's going to arrive in downtown Los Angeles. In L.A., where my phone has 3 bars at the moment, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
In Canada, you can have up to a year for maternity leave. Your company pays you and it says they'll hold your job. But you know how it goes. Out of sight is out of mind.
Companies have had to make cutbacks, especially over the last few years. And it's easiest to get rid of the person who's not there.
Maternity leave makes middle-of-the-night feedings look pretty good. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The story next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.